Good evening and welcome to the Pinken Show, our dedicated Canary shenanigans that's been lying down in a quiet room since that game on Saturday. I'm Michael Bailey. Good evening to you. Welcome to Carrow Road at our new regular live time of 6 p.m. We are here because, well, why wouldn't we be? This place certainly saw something special at the weekend. But also, City's under-23s begin their Premier League International Cup campaign tonight against Athletic Bilbao. So while everyone else laps it up in the Tampa Bay sun, Dave Freezer, we include you. We thought we'd show these guys a little bit of love. So over the next 30 minutes or so, we will relive the glory of Saturday's epic encounter, stare at the championship table for a good 5 minutes, top and bottom, ask whether Stuart Webber is off to Southampton, wonder what else Daniel Farke needs to do to get a new contract, and whatever else we can think of in the next half an hour or so. And we'll do all this in the company of our top pair this evening, laced with insight. There you go, boys, laced with insight. Eastern Daily Press chief City correspondent Paddy Davitt and Press Association sports journalist and City fan Jim Van Wyk. Gentlemen, how are you? Jim, first of all, I'm so sorry you're back out in the cold since Sinkhole.
I know, you only have me on here when it's freezing, don't you? So a Beast from the East coming next week as well, so that'll be about,
is that right? Right,
it? Apparently so.
What, another one?
Yeah, no, it's going to drop. Yeah, it's going to drop. So yeah, we won't be surfing anytime soon, I don't think, unless you're in Tampa.
Don't rub it in. No. We're not in Tampa, are we, Pad? But there we go. Dave's holding the fort.
Yeah, but I think he probably would have liked to have been here Saturday afternoon, around about, where were we, 4:50 at that end of the ground. So, yeah, I just tweeted actually a picture out. It's considerably quieter than it was at said Saturday, 4:50. So, yeah, we're looking forward to tonight's game. Actually, now we've seen the team, Todd Cantwell's in it. So, yeah, that's certainly worth watching, how he's rocked up after the hamstring problem. So other than that, though, any of the other lads who didn't go out there, Ben Marshall, Ivo Pinto, Tete, not involved tonight. But yeah, let's see how Todd gets on. Should be quite an interesting game.
It should be, and we will talk about it in a bit. Now, we are live at Pinken.com and, of course, the Pinken Facebook page. We want to hear from you too, be it on that Millwall finish, that City Finn, that Carrow Road Din, that Webber spin, but especially your trips across the world that have seen you stumble across a Norwich City connection that, of course, is in honour of the Canaries, seeing what they can learn from a week in the Florida sun of Tampa Bay. You can get all those through to us here at Carrow Road, connection permitting. I think we're all right so far. Simply post your words below the live feed on the Pinken Facebook page feed. The fact that it's a Pinken Facebook page is quite important, and they will ping right through to my phone, which I have makeshift onto a wonderful tripod in its own right. So all being well, we'll go through your messages. Mark Woods has put a thumbs up. Johnny Woods said says good evening, chaps. And Tony Bistrom says, hello, Michael. Is Drew Webber off to Southampton, or is it false? We will get to it. We will get to it, Tony, so keep those messages coming in. Now, we are more than a third of the way through the season and things are getting serious, well, a little bit. Fortunately, there's still room for, well, actually, there's not room for an oversized stuffed cow. We've left Wesley Moulihan at home, but we have got the child's bike horn, that is Onel Hernandez. Jim, this is this week's Canaries headlines. Just look at his face. Teemu Pukki defies all football logic to slot home a 90-plus-7-minute winner and earn City one of the most epic victories this stadium has ever seen. Top of the league, we're having a laugh. Hey, Mr. Tampa Bay man. Oh, dear, that's terrible. Yes, our esteemed colleague David Freezer is currently supping pina coladas and trying desperately to keep hold of the Canaries' coattails of Daniel Farke and Stuart Webber as they enjoy a week of warm weather training and commercial opportunity in Florida. Paddy and I are in no way jealous. You can follow Dave's updates on our shiny new Pinken app. Just search Pinken in the App Store or Google Play, with the football part of Dave's schedule kicking in on Thursday. Not such a saintly move. While Daniel Farke remains reassuringly relaxed over his own contract situation, Tuesday night saw Southampton linked with a swoop for Stuart Webber. Not that they know yet, according to the national reports. I'm sure they'll let us know when they do know that they will be making that move, if indeed they do make that move. At least Norwich City are on to a good thing at the moment. Their own hand is reasonably strong in both cases. And finally, free football. Yes, the Canaries under-23s may be missing out on Florida, Todd Cantwell included, but they have their own big deal to sort out tonight. The Premier League International Cup is an eye-catching tournament, and after a few sticky weeks, plus the departure of boss Matty Gill to those down the road. Something positive against Athletic Bilbao will definitely prove welcome. Wolfsburg and Tottenham awaiting the future group games, so here's to a positive start for David Wright's boys. One final hoot.
Sorry, I put it away. No, that's all right. I got it out of my pocket.
I thought you'd get the chance to maximise it, and the way it's lucky, reverberating lucky, around. You, well, no, actually, you can't. We need it next
expenses.
Week.
Okay, yeah.
Unless you want to come back and do it every week.
Every week, I'm cold.
Gents, yeah, we'll send Jim for a run in a minute to keep him warm. But before we get stuck into tonight, let's reflect a bit on the weekend, shall we? What a win it was, Jim. Incredible, and right up there with some of the classic games this stadium has witnessed.
I think it was. Spare a thought for all the poor people up here in the press box, like Paddy, must just be pushing delete, delete, delete. You know, if you got your intro written and then thrown out the window. But I just think it shows the sort of the character that this side have got at the moment. That never say die. And I was working a shift on Saturday, and the updates, and when they kept going back to Carrow Road, they had another goal at Carrow Road, and the fan of you thinks, well, you know, which way is this one going to go? And it's amazing really that they pulled it off in stoppage time.
To have a 7-goal thriller, Pad, but no sides, scoring, leading by more than a goal. So it was a proper, although the finish was incredible, that the whole game itself was just such a topsy-turvy event.
I think there was a good tweet, I think you retweeted it, where there was just a list of stats emanating from that game, historical stats, just to put it in context, that I think one of them that immediately springs to mind, was it 5 goals after the 70 whatever minute, which you just stop and think, 5 goals in the final, not even final quarter, but probably final 15 minutes. Just a phenomenal game. We've discussed it at length, but it still feels like you could discuss it for some while yet, because it's like you're unwrapping something and there's always a new layer when you get around to discussing it. It's just, we talked about it on our podcast, Pinken Podcast, the other day. It was the Newcastle game from last season, or a couple of seasons ago, under Alec Neil on Tyneside, when Norwich were leading 3-2 in stoppage time. Dwight Gale came to the party, 4-3, and just how everybody felt connected with Norwich that day. So the reverse was just delicious, really. And that will live long in the memory, that one.
And it's funny, again, talk about that Newcastle game. That really kicked Newcastle on that season, didn't it? So I guess in the same way that when sides throw something away, Norwich's season just unravelled. I mean, how much can we think that Norwich could kick off on from a result like that?
Well, I think, Paddy, you kind of put it out on your Twitter as well when you said on these kind of things, promotion campaigns, are built. I mean, look, long, long way to go yet, but it's momentum in the Championship, and the team who's got momentum at the moment, is Norwich City with everything they're doing. So, things are progressing well as a unit now with this squad, and it's just that attitude of, never knowing when they're beating and looking to overrun teams, which has been installed by the new head coach.
Dan, can we have a quick look at the top of the table? Can you sort that for us? Here comes the PA. Steve did keep it off track for a little bit, but he's giving me a wave, so that's absolutely fine, obviously. And as long as his music choice is good. Don Goodman actually said over the course of the weekend that he likened Norwich's situation to that of Cardiff's, because I think Cardiff were completely out of contention as a promotion candidate before the season started. It really became clear quite early that they were probably going to hang around. So is that a fair likeness, do you think, Brad?
It's certainly in regards to a team who nobody would have fancied to be in and amongst the, as it is this season, the Derbies, the Middlesbroughs, Villa, Forest even. They've spent a lot of money in the last sort of transfer window. So, yeah, I think we do get swept away, and it's inevitable with correlating how much money's been spent on a squad and how much wages a club are playing and with where they can realistically aim for. But you talk about Cardiff there, Michael. I mean, let's go back, and it's pertinent because it links the Stuart Webber bridge, if you like. But Huddersfield, who would have realistically felt that Huddersfield team under Wagner that season could go and do what they did? But anybody who saw them against Norwich in both the games, down here and at Huddersfield, they were an excellent team of players who everybody knew their jobs. They had a system and a philosophy that was so effective week in, week out. And as Jim says, at the minute, that does look like Norwich.
Spot on. Tampa Bay, Norwich gone for a bit of warm weather training, as we've mentioned only 3 times tonight already. Teams do this sort of thing, don't they, Jim? Do they work? Do they help?
Well, I think so. I mean, look, we all know part of it is to do with the sponsorship type, the commercial, and that's very important, and it's going to be an important part of the club going forward, hopefully. But I was listening to Cedric Anselin on Radio Norfolk as he's coming in, and said sometimes taking the group of players away from the goldfish bowl, if you like, and having, you know, 10 days out of the spotlight of everyone focusing on them and saying how they're going to do when they get back to playing, you know, football, that can actually be a, you know, be a positive as well. And as you said, Paddy, some of the guys there, if, you know, a few niggles and things, you know, a little bit of sun, and that, you know, that can do them the world of good.
Absolutely, yeah. I think, of course, there's a commercial dimension to it. I mean, Daniel was, I thought, very candid on Friday when I asked him about it, that he kind of talked that up, and then obviously then added the football dimension onto it. And, you know, probably if you're looking at purely through the footballing terms, taking a group of players 9 hours away with the time difference and the travelling isn't probably the best thing on that level. But, you know, we're here freezing tonight, and I think with the time difference, they're probably training at the moment. I think their first training session was Wednesday afternoon their time. Guarantee it's probably 25, 26 degrees. So 3 or 4 days in that environment, you've got to feel the benefits, I think. And they've still got a win to get back Sunday. They've still got a full week leading into Swansea. And the reality is, you know, there's quite a few lads away on international duty, so it's always, I'd imagine, that first international week of a break is always quite disrupted and quite low-key anyway, because simply you haven't got the bodies on the training pitch, have you?
Bang on. Okay, we'll carry on the discussion in a moment. Dave Fraser, as I said, is in Tampa. You can follow all his video updates on the new Pinken app, but especially pinken.com, so keep an eye out over there. Let's have a look at some of your messages, shall we, if I can go through these. I'm going to maybe rattle through a couple of quick questions if we can do just that. Well, why did Todd Cantwell not go to Miami? Well, I guess he's been injured, hasn't he, Pad? So.
Yeah, he's missed last three games, four. I mean, he was on the bench, but he didn't get on, did he? So he's effectively missed four games, I think, with a hamstring. Nature of that injury, do you want him sat on a plane for 9 hours? Probably not. Let him have a run out tonight, and, you know, he's probably going to feel the benefit of that more than, as I say, a long-haul flight and just training over there. So, yeah, and in terms of the other guys who haven't gone, you know, Tete, I think he's just had a kid, or rather his wife has, so probably wants to spend a bit of time with the family. And, you know, Pinto to the same degree. Marshall's a bit of an interesting one, unless I've misread it. I don't think he's over there in Tampa. So if he isn't, you'd think he could have had a run out tonight as well. So, you know, they know what they're doing, obviously.
Indeed. That's Mark Newstead. Thanks for your question, Mark. What else have we got here? Lisa Jack, what would you say if Ipswich and Lambert come knocking for Nelson Oliveira in January, Jim?
Sorry, just that whole thing, Paul Lambert going back to Ipswich. I know I shouldn't be bothered. There's just a tiny little bit of me that is bothered. But anyway, look, you know, good luck to him, and let's see what he can do down there. But Nelson's not in the picture at the moment, is he? He certainly got the ability, but Paddy will have a better insight than I have. You know, maybe he's not the type of the right character that Daniel Farke is looking for at the moment. And, you know, that's shown, and you can't really argue with the guys who are coming in. Would the squad miss him? He's not even on the bench at the moment, is he? So.
Nah, the ship sailed, definitely. It's now just how you manage his exit, basically. And for me, because there is a player in there, and we've all seen it in bursts, a very good player, in fact, I would not be sending him anywhere near Ipswich. I wouldn't give them any help whatsoever. Because you can guarantee, very fanciful, but if that was to happen, he would be desperate to come back here and put one over.
He'd probably stick something in the claw in his loan clause, wouldn't he, that he couldn't play?
Oh,
but then
God.
Again, if he's scoring goals against Norwich's rivals,
you,
in a way,
you,
that might.
Why do you want him
Norwich,
keeping them
so.
Up? You don't want that, do you? Why would
well,
you
no,
want him
no,
keeping
we
them up?
We don't want them down, do we?
We'll we don't want them
a
down.
Different division to them anyway next season. So, you know, nothing to worry about that. Fair well, enough. Probably, yeah, we will be. If we stay down, we'll go up. So there we go.
Our colleague in Ipswich, Stuart Watson, just put one tweet up saying, Lambert, give us a wave from the Ipswich fans.
Yeah.
Just sounds weird, doesn't it? Just sounds weird.
I know.
So top stuff. And Ben Harold asks states really one topic to work on in Tampa: penalties, as in trying to put them in.
Leather it, man.
Yeah I did, yeah, but as the boys come out behind this, but I don't know, funnily enough, I did my column on it today, and Matt Letizia, 47 out of 48 in his career, and he basically found some quotes where he was more or less saying it's about technique and it's about practice, and literally he would approach the ball and side foot it, and he would always pick the corner he was going, but he was so good, he practiced so often that if the keeper was going that side, he could literally manipulate it to go the other end angle. So that's a very simplistic way of looking at it, because all the penalties we've seen in the four that they've missed have been shocking penalties. And I know Daniel had plenty to say about the keeper being off his line the other day, but if you stick it in the other corner, then it doesn't really matter if he was off his line. So I think somebody just needs to step up, take the first one, and hopefully if they get any more, then, you know, we won't be talking about it. It'll just be academic.
And it's got to be a confidence thing as well. Absolutely. I think, Michael, with the players, a lot of managers say, you know, they want to let whoever's confident take the penalty, whether they've got specifically a designated penalty striker or not. But Norwich are probably now on number four. You know, you and I might get one pad, mate. Well, you will, mate, anyway, mate.
The thing is, it becomes an issue, doesn't it? It becomes an issue. Okay, well, let's move on to the debate, shall we, to the speculation we've had over this week. I think actually we should start with Friday, Pad, because that was the first opportunity we've heard from Daniel Farke on his contract situation for a while. You can obviously see what he said over at Pinken.com. You asked him about it. He's out of contract in the end of the in the summer, but he doesn't seem particularly he seems relaxed about it, I suppose.
He's not going too deep with it, mate. Nah. I mean, I said this again post that conference, but he's not exuding signals of a manager or a head coach who's not sure what his future holds. I think he's on the same page as Stuart Webber, who's on the same page as the board, is my take on it. So I think, I'm not saying it's an academic thing, but I think there's a will on all parties to ensure that he does stay beyond the end of his contract. But obviously the mechanics of it are probably not there yet. And until they are, then the fear is he continues to win games like this. He continues to keep Norwich at the top. It's not really about what's happening internally. It's who is looking at him in terms of other clubs here and in Germany potentially as well. So until he's actually put pen to paper, that would be a concern. But I don't think their poles apart in terms of how they see the vision of this club and what they're trying to do. And if you're Daniel Farke, you've put so much graft in, you've had to really work so hard to get to this position now. Why would you then step aside and let somebody else potentially take on this group to bigger and better things? So I'd be reasonably confident that they hopefully will be able to get something done, but the longer it isn't done, it's going to continue to be a talking point, isn't it?
And again, they've brought in a new first team coach, as far as we know. Or their club confirmed it, didn't they, on Saturday? Christopher John, who was at Farke's old club, Paderborn, or Paderborn 2, wasn't it? I think so. Connections there all over, of course. And Barry Newman asks, why haven't the club signed Farke on an improved contract to at least get some decent compensation if he goes? Which is obviously the classic Norwich way of looking at it.
I think so, but also maybe do we have to take a step back and have a dose of realism? You know, the reality is we saw the financial accounts recently. If things don't go right on the pitch this season, then Norwich have a really, really big financial hole, you know, to fill in the summer. And, you know, you might be looking at a manager taking a completely different view of the club and where he's going. Daniel Farke, a very ambitious young, and now we can clearly see a very talented coach, and it's taken him some while, as Paddy pointed out, to get to the team. This is his team now, and he's now showing what he can do. And I think we should also not overlook the lure of Germany. He's very, very highly regarded, even more so than Wagner at Dortmund, and we can see why now.
Stuart Webber, then, that's a nice little segue into his future, because in case you didn't see the reports, Southampton, they're having a proper root and branch review of what's going on at St Mary's, it's fair to say. And one position they're looking for is a new technical director, and the suggestion is that Stuart Webber is on their list that they want to recruit. And the report suggested that Southampton would do that and maybe think about who they're going to approach in a couple of weeks' time with Stuart Webber being on the list. Jim, how do you see that?
Well, the guys who put that piece together, you know, they're very well connected. So there will be substance, you know, will be substance to that, you know, and shouldn't become as much of a surprise really that he'd be on a potential list. You know, it's only a list, isn't it, of potential candidates that could come in. But would he want to go all the way, you know, down to the south coast again? I guess it just depends on it, like anything, how he sees his own career progression. Is there a ceiling at Norwich? Probably. Is that any bigger at Southampton? You know, there's an argument that maybe it's more of an environment where, you know, he's going to have a more sort of financial stability. But I wouldn't be surprised to see something, you know, happen with Stuart one way or the other, you know, going forward, as Paddy said, in the structure here, how things want to be set up.
I mean, it feels like we know this speculation is going to come along, Pad, don't we? But whether Southampton would be the first choice on Stuart's list if things came along, I don't know.
Well, I mean, it does feel like there's, over the last, I mean, they were very, very close to being, you know, going the other way last season. I think they just turned it around at the end, didn't they, in terms of relegation. They're down there again this season. So things aren't right, but wrote about it a little bit earlier today. And, you know, for me, it's still a better scenario than the one he came into here when it wasn't just finding a head coach. It was a complete cultural shift, dealing with, as they've had to do in the intervening period, so much financial churn, shedding players left, right and centre, literally just keep the club afloat. So you might look at that, putting your City hat to one side, and say it's probably a better scenario than he would have been faced with when he came in here. But yeah, I personally think, yeah, I'd agree with you. I think there's probably more attractive propositions in the Premier League that might come available down the line. But the reality is this won't be the last club he gets linked with if nothing actually materialises in terms of a firm approach. And all it is at the minute is potentially well-informed, but still speculation. So, you know, ultimately it's Stuart Weatherford to decide, isn't it? It's his career. He felt, let's be honest, when he left Huddersfield, they were 4 or 5 months, on a no hindsight,
yeah,
but they were 4 or 5 months from being in the Premier League, yet he still felt this was a better opportunity for him and his career. If he feels Southampton ticks that box and the opportunity's there, then...
Because people would have looked at that decision, Paddy, wouldn't they, and say, absolutely, why would someone want to leave Huddersfield, who are on the up, to Norwich and the carnage that he faced coming in here? So would having done that, you know, firefighting job at Norwich, would Southampton, would he want to go in there and do another firefighting job? Or is that the kind of challenge that Stuart thrives on, you know, from when you put your business hat on, and that's where he wants to go, to try and help a club and transform a club, as he has done and as he deserves immense credit for doing behind the scenes here?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I just to add to that, that I think his pronouncements when he first came and people asked that to him, he said, well, you look at the league table as it was then, surely Huddersfield was a better bet than Norwich. And I think he more or less inferred that Norwich, in terms of the support base, in terms of the potential, was much bigger than Huddersfield, in his opinion. Now, if he feels a Southampton or another club is, again, offers more potential than Norwich, then he's really only repeating the career move that he made, you know, when he came in first here. So it is a concern, definitely. But unfortunately, that is the... And we're getting it with Farke, and now, sadly, we're getting it with Weber. We're also going to... We've seen in recent days that Pukki apparently was watched by one of the Turkish clubs here at the weekend. They sent their assistant coach. So that is inevitable when you're doing well and you're no longer under the radar, sadly.
It's just football, really, though, isn't it?
It's just football. You know. And, of course, we'll keep an eye on it at pinkin.com and let you know how all that speculation develops in turn. Normally, at this point, we would do Flip the Bird, but we're all standing up, and I think we've inflicted enough on Jim to not put him through Flip the Bird. Next time, Jim. Next time, we're going to be in the pub.
I've been warming up, getting the, you know, doing that baby shark thing that's been keeping me, you know, keeping me going.
Well, Daniel Fark.
Yeah,
but we won't get into that.
No, it's great, yeah. That is a great one.
So, we're going to skip that, and hopefully we'll be back in a week's time. Remember, the show will be 6 p.m. going forward. That's the plan, most definitely. So instead, let's have a look at tonight's game, while we're here, of course. Norwich City Under-23s, their opening game in the Premier League International Cup. It's quite a good competition, really, isn't it, Pat? Because they do seem to be able to pit their wits against some pretty big clubs in this competition. I mean, sometimes, I guess, the teams are maybe playing under-18s instead of under-23s but things like that. But it seems like a good test for them.
Well, yeah. I mean, just the names in terms of the group they're in. Like, there's 6 groups of 4, I think. And Norwich have gone in with Bilbao tonight. Massive club in the Basque region, Wolfsburg and Tottenham. So you would think whichever set of players those three clubs pitch up here with, they're going to be a decent test for this group of players. So yeah, I think there's a lot made of development football and what it doesn't do in terms of preparing players. But for me, in isolation, this sort of competition, you know, to come up against European opposition and the different nuances that brings, I think it's an excellent competition. And the last time they were in it, they got to the semi-finals. So, you know, you're winning games and you're playing against decent opposition. What's there not to like about that?
Timmy Odesina and Alfie Payne are both in the side tonight. They were both on the bench at Sheffield Wednesday. So And of course, Todd Cantwell, who will no doubt be itching to get back. And
I think he's, yeah, Cantwell. I think Cantwell is a great player. You know, having seen him make the step up this season. But it's as Paddy said, youth development in Norwich is so important, and that could be a path that, you know, the club finds itself needing to go down. That we have to bring through talent, and maybe being a little bit cynical, but if the situation came where the books had to be balanced, then you know you've got these. I don't want to use the term assets, but let's face it, that's what all players are at clubs nowadays. That by bringing through these players and playing in competitions like this, it's only going to give them experience so that when they do step up into the first team, they can make that seamless transition. And it's great that Daniel Farker is bringing the young kids through and getting them involved. And we saw with James Maddison what he could do. And hopefully, you know, these young two guys, especially the fullbacks, it's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah. Seeing them, they almost play with no fear, and that can be really key for Norwich in the next 6 months.
It certainly says a lot about how Max Aarons has been able to develop from going from the 18s to the 23s so quickly as well. Matt Gill was, of course, in charge of this side at the start of the season. They've had a few iffy results since Gilly went down to down south, and David Wright, who was under 18's coach, he's in charge tonight. Paddy, I guess they're still trying to work out the long-term arrangement as to who's going to take charge of the side going forwards.
Absolutely, yeah, and that isn't ideal, because I think at this level as well, Matty Gill was excellent. He had that bond with the players. I mean, I was out in Germany in pre-season and they were there as well training, and you could just see it was a happy camp and they really respected him and what he was trying to impart. So to lose him will be a blow to these group of players, and it does need resolved, I think, because as Jim rightly says, and we've seen the product of that with Lewis, with Aarons, Cantwell, the steps into that first team are crucial, particularly when you get to the 23s, you know, and they do need to find a lasting solution. And obviously they've brought in, touched on it right at the start, didn't we, this Christopher John, but I think it remains to be seen if he is actually seen as a direct Gill replacement. I think from what I'm led to believe he's more of an analyst, so that would lead you to think probably not. But they certainly do need new. If it's going to be David Wright, then it's David Wright, but then that obviously has a knock-on effect lower down, doesn't it? So it's massively important, because as Jim rightly says, the way the club is geared now in terms of the finance, it's, if they don't produce players, they're going to find it very difficult to compete.
Top stuff, Paddy. So the game kicks off at 7. Norwich City under 23s against Athletic Bilbao under 23s. Kick off at 7. Coverage with Paddy Davitt throughout the game, and of course all the fallout afterwards too. Let's have a couple of messages on here. Peter Sunderland says he's listening from Vancouver, where it's probably colder than it is here. Do you reckon?
Nowhere can be colder than it is here right now.
Come on. Richard Rushell says that it's a long time since City had a manager. Since a City manager has gone on to bigger and better things after Norwich, I'd sit tight. So there we go. And Lisa Jack joins in. Good point. Arguably John Bond's the only one I can think of. Maybe Martin O'Neill, who of course went on to Leicester.
Yeah, probably Martin O'Neill. I mean, thinking about that from where, you know, when Paul left and he went to Aston Villa, he thought it was tailor made for him there, and you know things didn't work out. So. But I think he's got something going. He's got something, certainly got something going here. So, you know, hopefully he'll see it right the way through to the development.
Indeed. Tony Bisham says no one is allowed Teemu Pukki, and Ben Harold says no Pukki, no party, which I guess is the same thing with different words. So there we go. Norwich City notice board time, and it's three things we've got this time. I'm just going to crouch down here because those regular viewers will know that I forgot this last week, so here it is. This is a I'm never going to make it on QVC, am I? Is a personalised Pinkham mug, which I did forget to bring with me at the Wallpack, and I'm delighted that I have remembered. And thankfully, you don't have to have Bailey on yours. All you need to do, this is a great advert, by the way, stop smirking.
Can we get one of them?
And Paddy's still waiting on his as well. All you have to do is visit pinkham.com/shop. And you can buy yours, or even buy it as a present for someone else. Someone called Lambert might be a good option. So there we go. A good Christmas present there, Jim.
It's a great Christmas present from Uncle Billy. I'm going to go on and buy one of them.
There you go. Brilliant. That's the spirit. That's the spirit.
Do I get a discount?
Probably not. Secondly, the Norwich City Fan Social Club have announced their next evening. It's a casino and games night at Carrow Road on Thursday, December the 6th. It's an adults-only night. It's the usual £3 entry, with money being raised for the Community Sports Foundation. So note the night and get yourself along if you can. And you can visit ncfsc.co.uk for more details. And finally, well done to everyone at last week's On the Buzzer City quiz night. Our Archant team Did a reasonable job until I embarrassingly got a Formula One question wrong, and sports desk Pete Raven turned red at the revelation the Nile is apparently no longer the longest river in the world. So here's to the Community Sports Foundation and its Build the Nest campaign that will have, I'm sure, benefited hugely from the night. Remember, if there are any tweets, stories, events or groups of a canary's nature that you want to flag up with us here on the Pinken Show, Norwich City Notice Board, let us know via all the usual social media channels or send us an email to thepinken@archant.co.uk. Are we all good, Dan? Are we happy? Yeah. Dan's happy. There's your copy of the championship slides, gents. It's an international break. There's no way we're not addressing this. Here is the latest championship picture. With the Sheffield Derby finishing goalless, the Saturday action made up for the lack of goals. Six at St Andrews, a stunning win for Aston Villa at Frank Lampard's Derby. Five in West London, and Ipswich even getting in on the act for all the good it did them. West Brom rounded it all off by hammering Leeds and doing City a decent turn for 2 weeks. So Ipswich remain 5 points adrift at the bottom after failing to beat either of Reading or Preston in recent weeks. Lambert joins with Ipswich 3 points adrift at 5 points adrift at the bottom, that is. And if we have a look at the top half of the table, this is the one we all wanted to see. Norwich are top, 2 points clear of Middlesbrough and six now ahead of seventh. The first team to hit 10 wins this term as well, despite five teams having lost fewer games. It's fair to say, however, the top half as a whole still cuts a tight affair. It's the international break, of course, but when the action resumes on Saturday week, City have a tough trip to Wales, with Ipswich kicking things off the evening before at home to West Brom. There's the second City derby on the Sunday before a full midweek schedule as Norwich head to Hull on Tuesday. 17 games in, gents. Can we say the table has shape to it?
Well, I'm just trying to think what the table would have been like if Norwich hadn't had such a slow start. I mean, look, it's fantastic, isn't it? I think the key thing, as you pointed out, Michael, is the difference between seventh place. Norwich have got a really, really good opportunity now to, at worst, finish in the playoffs. I think all of us would be very, very disappointed if that didn't happen. And they also have put themselves in a very strong position now to attack the top two. And it's all about momentum, but it's all about momentum at the key stage of the season. And we all know that's coming up, you know, sort of February and March. And just looking at the table, if you look down, and Paddy and I were just mentioning it there, some of these teams down here, any one of them can go on a run. And you can see any team can really break into the top six. But yeah, definitely, I mean, they have got a chance.
Stuart Hodge on our podcast, he said Norwich are going up. He actually went on record and said it, didn't he, Pat? And you said being out of the top six by the end of the season would actually probably constitute a disappointment now.
Yeah, well, echoing Jim's point, because the points are on the board now, that really the others are playing, well, below maybe Middlesbrough, Leeds, Sheffield United, but certainly West Brom down, they are now playing catch-up. You know, there's this 5 points, 6 points, doesn't sound a lot, but it certainly is in the incremental nature of the championship. So with that platform to kick on, if they can steer clear of injuries to the key players for any length of time, then why not turning for home round about the same position? Then from there, then definitely to tail away and finish outside the top six would be hugely disappointing. And that's not a negative thing, that's just credit to Farker, Weber and those players that they've actually got us now thinking, in Hodge's case, they're going up.
That's exactly what he said. Of course, Norwich aren't playing this weekend, but they're playing at Swansea next Saturday. Jim, let's have a quick look at your 11. I think it's that last sheet there.
Yeah.
I don't know if I put them all in the right place.
No, that's it. No, better stab than I could do at the formation. But, I mean, look, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. He's stumbled across the formation that works for him, especially with the two young wing-backs, which, you know, really, really give Norwich something going forward. I just put Todd Cantwell in there because the games I've seen him, I think he brings something else to the party. Bernardo's come along as well, and he's the type of player who can unlock a defence. But it's all going to be now about Daniel Farker adapting these tactics and personnel for the key games, especially away from home.
And the Championship will have taken notice and they'll change how they address Norwich.
And it's a relentless league, and you said they Norwich play Swansea and then Hull. Get things wrong and all of a sudden those 6 points are wiped out and Norwich are fifth or sixth. They've just got to keep things together. But Mr. Pookie, I would take my hat off to him, but it's a little bit still cold still. He certainly, you know, found it, and Norwich have found the best way to get him out of him, in the old centre forward mould of you know, Norwich are used to playing with them, you know, one Grant Holt when he was here.
Such ruthless finishing, especially for the first goal on Saturday. One quick question then, are Ipswich going down?
No, Lambeau's got too much to keep him up, I think. Still got faith in the old boy.
Yeah. Dan says yes, because that's what he does. Brilliant. So, international break, that's what is coming up this weekend. Anything picking your interest, Pad? Because I kind of like it as a week off, if I'm on the weekend off.
Well, with Brexit, there's an Irish derby tomorrow to look forward to. So, we'll see how Jamal and Mickey McGovern get on. Tim Klose is not in Switzerland's 11 tonight. They've just been named. They're playing Qatar, but wouldn't surprise me if he did get a game later on. But anything catching my eye? No, other than we don't have what we had in the last international break. Jim's just talked about him. Timu Pukki carried off or whatever, walked off. Looks like he's done his hamstring. We don't need any of that.
Spot on. I completely agree. And I suppose the other side of the international break, we might be a bit closer to having Grant Hanley back on the bench and also Kenny McLean maybe too.
Certainly Grant, yeah. I mean, he's out there, isn't he, in Tampa. So I don't think the other side of the break would be very far away at all. In fact, we briefly talked to him, didn't we, coming away from the training ground on Friday. I think he quite fancied having a run out on Saturday just gone, but that would have been tough on Closer and Zimmerman. And that is a great scenario moving forward. Jim's talking about key players needing to perform. Well, you know, if you can get that competition in those key areas of the field, then it can only drive Norwich on upwards and onwards, hopefully.
Bang on. Let's have a quick look at any more of your messages, see if what we can grab in. Answer these guys quickly. Jacob Seaman, what January signings do we feel we need?
Left back.
Keep everybody fit. But I think Norwich are in a position where now they will need to go out and bring somebody in just to give a signal that you know, they mean business.
Jacob also asks, and he's not the only one, by the way, Jordan Rhodes, shall we sign him permanently? And if so, what price do you feel he's worth?
It's not so much the price. I think it's his wages, you know, reportedly upwards of north of 30 grand a week. I think that'd be too rich for Norwich in this league. They get themselves up to a whole different ballgame.
Alan Aston says, mind the gap, PL. And also adds in, we are giving away goals with our keepers' mistakes. Should we have tried harder for Angus Gunn?
Well, you're never going to get Angus again, will you? I think he's got his eye on bigger and better things. But, you know, yes, Crawley, he may be susceptible to the odd poor distribution or the odd clanger, but he also pulls off some great saves as well. And, you know, when you've got a big Dutchman in goal, anything can happen, can't it, eh?
Well said, Jim. And finally, Lisa Jack, if we beat Swansea, we will have 36 points from 18 games. 2-point average means the P word. There we go. Right, we are done. Time is rapidly running away, and kickoff here will be with us soon. So in that case, that is it from us for tonight. Good luck to Norwich City's under-23s. You can follow their progress, as I said, and all the reaction with Paddy over at Pinken.com. And remember, you can catch this show and all our superb Norwich City content and coverage over at the Pinken's Facebook page, YouTube channel, and, of course, the brand-new app. But first and foremost, Pinken.com. We'll be back again next Wednesday evening in the warm. From our new regular time of 6 p.m. live from the Woolpack on Golden Ball Street in the centre of Norwich for another Pinken show with all the usual fun and games. So please join us then, be it in the flesh, in the pub or online. In the meantime, a big thank you to our guests tonight, to Paddy and to Jim. Thank you, gents, so much. Oh, Bella sent some dogs loopy, that one. To Norwich City Football Club for letting us do the show here tonight. We much appreciated it. To the crew, who is Dan, sterling work, Dan, well done. And, of course, to you guys for watching, all your messages, getting involved. We really do appreciate it. We'll see you again next week. Until then, get rested, refreshed, find some sun and a lounger. Close your eyes and think of Tampa. And we'll see you back in Norwich's late autumn next Wednesday, still staring at the top of the championship. Good night.